Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface here at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, where the Winnipeg Jets have just gone down 2-2 at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche by a 4-3 margin in the shootout. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined up here by Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. Now, Richard, do you look at this game compared to Tuesday night's game, and it certainly was a more entertaining game. Uh-huh. It was a better result for the Winnipeg Jets in that they got 1 point versus 0 points. But I think it goes to show and illustrate some of the problems that this Winnipeg Jets team has when they take a 2-0 lead early in the first period, and absolutely nobody in the building thought this team had it in them to really shut it down, go into the defensive shell, and protect that lead.
Yeah, how many times have we seen this game?
Lots.
20 times this year? I mean, did we have to even watch the rest of the game to know it was going to be a 3-3 tie?
Well,
you know, Drew, overall, I thought they had their moments. I thought certain players performed well. I thought Mark Scheifele had one of his better games in a while.
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler had an up-and-down game. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. the Jets don't get it done. Broken record, don't get it done. Don't seal it when it matters most. Don't get a clutch play. And 1 point, and you know, again, these are big games, and 1 point's better than none, but 1 point's not good enough.
Sure.
And the Jets tonight squandered a 2-0 lead. They came back three and tied a 3-3. Didn't really, you know, had their opportunities even after that to take advantage of a team that's struggling, that's on the road, that's in a -40 degree weather, and looked desperate and played more desperate than the Jets. That's the thing, Drew. You look at it from, you take a step back and you see these two teams and you say, okay, you know, the Avs a better record, et cetera, et cetera. But the Avs, to me, had more desperation in their game, at least, you know, on their bench, it seemed, than the Jets.
Well, the Jets, I don't think have ever been a team that, you know, has shown, you know, the intestinal fortitude necessary to get a goal when it's a desperate situation.
I just think it's his emotion, and maybe that is taking on Claude Noel's lead. I don't know, but like, you watch that Colorado bench, they were into it. Maybe that's, they feel like they have a better chance. But hey, you're not done yet. If you're on the team, you better think you have a chance. And I just saw much. You know, I just don't see, you know, I don't see a great cohesiveness. I don't see. An engagement level that it needs to be, and end of the day.
Is this a team, the Winnipeg Jets, that they can't really elevate their game? They play at a, you know, they play at a level, but they can never really step on an opponent's throat, or they can never get that clutch goal when it's 3-3 and there's 5 minutes to go in the game and they have a power play to make it 4-3. You know, the Jets had an ample opportunity with less than 10 minutes.
The power play was just awful. It's just awful.
I mean, they had two power play goals today.
It's just awful, though, in general.
Okay, that's fine. But
I know they made the move, Wheeler, Jokinen, the whole deal. And it, sure, it's, you know, they had three in the past two games.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's nothing that you say, oh, wow, you know, really getting those great chances.
No, it's not a dominant power play, but it was successful today. Mm-hmm. So you have to give them credit for getting two power play goals. But, you know, and getting the power play goals are good. But when you have a power play with 5 minutes to go in the game, get that goal. Mm-hmm. And you've never seen the team get that goal, that key goal.
Yeah, but very rarely.
Well, I mean, on occasion, yeah, mm-hmm. when, you know, but count the number of times it's happened versus count the number of times when they've had the opportunity. And it's obviously mm-hmm. the opportunities out, you know, are more than the mm-hmm. than the successful attempts at it. The Jets opened the scoring very early in this game. It was at the 24-second mark of the game. Blake Wheeler gets the goal, assist to Toby Enstrom and Brian Little. Enstrom keeps it in at the point. He sort of flips it on net. Wheeler, you know, turns and shoots the puck, and it sort of just pinballs in off of a bunch of skates past Semyon Varlamov. You know, a garbage goal, but effective.
Yeah, they buzzed around for that first little bit. Got the crowd engaged quickly. Wheeler spins it around, hits the Varlamov's pad, hits the Avs defender, bounces in the net, and you're up 1-0.
Yeah.
And the crowd's into it. It was a good start for that line, and Wheeler likes to get, you know, gets going early, and you can't complain if you're a Jets fan after that.
Certainly not. And they added to that lead 5 minutes later, 5 minutes and 1 second later. Michael Frolik on the power play, assist to Jacob Trouba and Grant Klitsam. Klitsam's at the right point. He passes it over to Trouba at the left point. It's a one-timer low on the ice. That's and perfect opportunity for Frolik to tip it past Varlamov, and he does.
Yeah, you know, a couple things there. You got on the power play, so they're playing opposite sides. You have You have Trouba, as you mentioned, on the left side and Klitsam on the right, so it's an easier pass for the one-timer. There's a reason that they set up that way. Trouba takes a shot. You mentioned, Drew, you know, well, you nailed it. He hits the he takes a hard, low shot, which is what you're supposed to do in that situation. Frölich kind of tips it in on the backhand, changes the angle at the last second, beautiful execution, and that's a nice power play goal there.
Yeah, and it's 2-0 for the Jets, and the barn is rocking, mm-hmm. And I mean, this is, like you said at the start, the Colorado Avalanche are a team that's been struggling as of late.
Yes.
You know, a team that hasn't really had much go for it, and since their great start to the season, they have been really, they've been as average as the Jets have been, if you look at their two records, mm-hmm. But it's a team that...
There isn't too much, I mean, there's a top-end talent difference here.
Yeah.
But there's a... Full out roster, there's not a massive difference at all.
No, in terms of, I mean, you're right. The top end talent difference is there with that. You know, nobody's as good on the, you know, the Jets don't have anybody as good as Matt Duchene or Gabe, not Gabriel anymore, Gabe Landeskog.
Maybe it's Landeskog, but not as Duchene.
Okay. And would we expect Nathan MacKinnon
eventually
to become?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, you look at their depth players, you look at their third line, and you look at their defense. I mean, there's not much there.
No, that's true.
I mean, Eric Johnson is probably their best defenseman.
He is their best defenseman, and he's not great.
Yeah, he's not great. Exactly right. Yeah. But to the Avs' credit, and I mean, I don't know, like you said, is this a function of not wanting to let down their head coach? I mean, Patrick Waugh, at the 15:08 mark of the first period, Matt Duchene, with just an absolutely gorgeous move, comes down the right-hand side, gets a little bit of body position on Dustin Byfuglien, and flips it, you know, right under the arm of Andrei Pavlik. That's just, I mean, there's not very many guys in the NHL who can make that move and score that goal.
And Duchene creates that play from his own zone, and he creates that play with speed and stick handling ability, something that he probably does at top speed as well as anybody, if not better than anybody else in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. Ryan O'Reilly gives him a nice little give-and-go play, and Duchene steps over the line. There's a collision outside the blue line, Wheeler and MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. But Duchene with speed is very hard to guard against, and Byfuglien can skate well for a big guy, but it was his speed, not so much the size, that allowed him to turn the corner on Buff. Probably when Pavlik liked to have back under his arm. And, you know, it's a huge goal for Colorado. I thought it was a momentum swing on that goal. It also got Duchene even more engaged in the game. I thought he was the best player on the ice tonight. Just how quick he was skating and Riley putting it where it needs to be and giving the Avs confidence because, you know, as we mentioned, they've struggled. And you're down 2-0. You 3-0.
Yeah.
You might call it a day.
3-0, you might fold it up, or even 2-0 at the end of the first period. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the shots were at that time, but the Jets had on the
killing
them, 14-4 or something in the first period in terms of the shots. It was a real, you know, one-sided game on the shot total.
Shots after the first period. No, they don't have them here.
Here, I got it right over here. Let me just pull it up.
Oh, here we go. 14-4.
14-4 for the Jets, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Avs could have easily pulled it, you know, just gone home and said, okay, we're continuing our struggles.
14-4, they have their way in the second period.
Yeah, well, I mean, then, like you said, it was a momentum turner because the Avs were the better of the two teams in the second period, and they tied it up at the 14:47 mark. Ryan O'Reilly with the assist to Duchene and Corey Sarich. Jets are just bogged down in their own zone.
You know, you can blame us on the defense. I don't think so. I think you have Brian Little there, who's theoretically supposed to have the guy cutting to the net there, but it appeared that the coverage was actually a breakdown by Chris Thorburn. Chris Thorburn lost Ryan O'Reilly. Duchene made a beautiful pass.
Yeah,
from a beautiful ability to create space for himself, makes a pass in front. Thorburn loses his guy. Little doesn't cover it, but it's more on Thorburn than Little. And, you know, the defensemen have those two guys behind the net. They're doing what they have to do, although you want to prevent that pass if you can, and 2-2, and... You know, new game.
Yeah, exactly right. It was a great Duchene had set up behind the Jets net. He just flipped it to O'Reilly. And, mm-hmm. I mean, O'Reilly's a good player, too. He doesn't get a lot talked about, but he's a good player. He does a lot of things for this team.
A lot of things is how you put it, Drew, because he has a lot of things. He can check. He can create. He can kill penalties. He can play power play. He's a versatile player. Mm-hmm. And he fits in well to what they have now. You know, before they have guys like Duchene. Well, not because I think they're in the same draft year. But... or close to it, but before you have guys like MacKinnon, his role is a little bit elevated. Now you can slide a man eventually to a role that fits him a lot better. And whether it be the center, whether it be wing, and that will change, you know, depending on their roster and depending on what happens with Paul Stastny, he's a great player to add to a core, mm-hmm. but isn't your top end, but he can be a great complement to that.
Sure.
Kind of like Patrick Sharp. Not as talented, I don't think, as sharp, but kind of like that player to complement Taves and Kane.
Yeah, and the Avs weren't done scoring in the second period. They got their third straight goal. Matt Duchene, again, it's his third point of the night. He gets it at the 19:58 mark. Nathan MacKinnon with the assist. I mean, this is, you know, just talk about the play that Blake Wheeler made and the play that Nathan MacKinnon made to set up the goal.
Yeah, you know, Blake Wheeler gets the puck at the top of the blue line and makes a terrible turnover. Top of the offensive blue line and makes a terrible turnover by putting the puck in the middle, kind of blindly and turning it over. And you can't do that. You just can't do that when you're, you know, near the end of a shift, you're the last man back in terms of covering for the defense. When you put the puck in the corner or you make a play, you do not turn it over. Simple play made complicated. By trying to do too much, which he's apt to do at times, the puck gets turned around the other way quickly, pass to MacKinnon, who drives wide. Who's he driving wide on?
Blake Wheeler.
Blake Wheeler, because he's covering.
Yeah.
And MacKinnon, dynamite from 1-0 to 60, turns a corner, can turn it both ways, turns a corner, Duchene goes to the net, rebound goal. You might not love the rebound, but rebound goal, and should have been preventable. Colorado walks and runs, skates right into the intermission with a 3-2 lead. And you wonder if the Jets will come back.
Yeah, and the Jets had opened the scoring. They got the first two, then the Avs got the next three. And you're right about Blake Wheeler there. You know, it had been a good shift for the Jets at that point. They were cycling the puck well. And if he just throws it into the corner, and maybe it's a turnover in the corner. But if it's deep in the corner, deep in the Avs zone, it's no big deal at that point in time. They can make the line change.
Especially on the tough line change.
That's right. The long line change in the second period. And
you're right there. So you just pop off.
That's right. And instead, Wheeler gets caught on the deep, you know, playing defense. And I mean,
just a terrible turnover.
Yeah. Just not a very intelligent hockey play. And I mean, for a guy who, you know,
he makes besides, up for it on the way back.
Yeah, besides that play, he'd actually played a pretty good game, I thought, for the Jets.
Yeah, he was one of his better games of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, to his credit, like you said, he was the one who tied the game. It came at the 10-minute mark of the third period. It was on the power play, the second of the Jets' power play goals for the night. Blake Wheeler gets it from Mark Scheifele and Grant Klitsam. Just sort of a shot from the mid-slot by Scheifele, and it just, you know, it pinballs a little bit, drops in front of the crease, drops in front of Varlamov, and Wheeler's there to tuck it in past Varlamov. Just, you know, dirty again, but effective.
I have to wonder if they stick with, I know Scheifele Wheeler playing together in the power play. I have to wonder if they're going to balance the scoring out and put those guys at even strength more.
Well, they played together in overtime as well, 4-on-4.
Right, exactly. So, something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, and I like the two of them together, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Scheifele needs to play with more skill, and Wheeler hasn't got off to the greatest start, so it wouldn't be a start. We're almost halfway through the season, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe get those guys going.
Yeah, exactly. So at the 10-minute mark, the Jets tied it up, so there's 10 minutes to go in the game. They did get a power play opportunity late in the third period. Mark Stewart is boarded. You weren't crazy about the call?
Well, I wasn't crazy about the call. But it was one of those plays where it looked like it was a side. I only saw the replay once. It looked like it was from the side, and then he turned again. It's just the players have to stop turning. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the call because you're trying to make sure that you prevent the violence, and it's fine with me. But just, again, it looked like it came from the side. It's a responsibility of both player, the hitter and the hitty in that situation.
Yeah, and the Jets.
Stewart's tough. He doesn't sit down and whine about it.
He's not about to fake a play
exactly,
at that point in time.
Yeah.
Jets aren't able to capitalize on it in the last 5 minutes of the game. There's no blood for either side, even though I thought the Jets probably had the better of the chances in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, they did. And when you're the Jets, so you need to win, and you need to win clean.
Yeah, like we talked about yesterday, you didn't win clean. Moral victories.
I realize that the tiebreaker down the road is overtime wins and regulation wins, but you're playing against the team you're chasing in the division right now.
Yeah.
If there's not a crossover, and you got to win clean, and you didn't, and you blew a chance, and this is a lost opportunity.
That's right. Overtime solved nothing. They went to the shootout. Devin Setoguchi shot first for the Jets.
He's invisible. I know the shootouts are a joke. Can't stand the shootout. But why the hell is Devin Setoguchi in that shootout? That guy is completely invisible. He's been a passenger essentially all year. Was a passenger again tonight. If I'm going down against a division rival, I'm going down with somebody who's done something.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does in practice. That guy has been a passenger. Why the hell is he out first on that team? I'm the Jets. I'm furious. Look what happens. There are only two shooters. You have Little. You have Wheeler. I don't care if these guys are bad. Some of these guys are bad in the shootout. You have Scheifele. Whoever it may be, take that passenger, throw him out the window, and get somebody else who should be shooting there.
If the shootout's a crapshoot, you might as well reward guys for having a strong effort.
That's right.
Setoguchi
goes. That's my only issue. I thought Noel was fine otherwise, but
yeah.
How the hell he's shooting first beyond me?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks
Setoguchi. God, what the hell are they doing?
I don't know. I can't go get into Claude Noel's head there, but it was a bit of a peculiar decision. I was surprised to see him jump out first.
He also started overtime, didn't he?
I believe so. I believe it was
Setoguchi. What's he doing out there starting overtime?
Setoguchi and Jokinen started with the two forwards that started overtime for
what
the Jets.
What the hell is he doing out there in overtime?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to increase his trade value. Anyways, Setoguchi shoots first for the Jets. No success there. Matt Duchene comes in on Andre Pavlik. Just a sick move. I mean, Matt Duchene's a superstar in this league.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great. You have to think that seeing him in person only solidifies your thought that he would be a terrific Team Canada representative, especially because he can play center and wing, mm-hmm. Or look like he could at least. And beautiful move. What do you say about that? Great move. And then Andrew Ladd comes in, makes his kind of patent. One of his options is that backhand to forehand. I don't mind the move. Varlamov played him well. But you go down with Ladd. You might as well go down with your horses.
Sure, exactly.
And then P.A. Parenteau comes down. P.A. Parenteau's got good hands. He can create, and he picks corner. Game, set, match. And the Jets squandered another chance, as we mentioned. And Dallas, huge game. Got to win that one clean and get on the road against two terrible teams.
Buffalo and Columbus. Yeah. So, a lot, Jets.
Columbus not terrible. Columbus not bad.
Right.
Struggling. Buffalo's is just awful.
Yeah.
So you have a chance right now still to get six points off the board, but they say the cliche, and it's true. Just focus on Dallas. Focus on taking away that top line in Dallas, and we'll break it down on Saturday. You got opportunities.
Let's be honest. They should win their next four games. Dallas, Columbus, Buffalo, and then home to play the Florida Panthers.
It's a schedule we talked about. You get this one. You blew this point tonight. You had a chance to finish it, but you win the next four. You had five out of...
everyone says you've won nine out of your last 10 points.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's all good for the Jets if that happens. But they still need some work before that happens. If you look at the time on ice today, Dustin Byfuglien, 29 minutes and 29 seconds, leads all Winnipeg Jets defensemen. Toby Enstrom next, 27-21, and Jacob Trouba at 25-52. In terms of the forwards, it appears as though Brian Little led all forwards with 23 minutes and 12 seconds of ice time up front for the Winnipeg Jets. That's it for us from MTS Center Press Box. The Jets fall to the Colorado Avalanche 4-3 in a shootout. We remind you to stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com for post-game audio from both the Jets and the Avalanche dressing room. For Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Saturday, 8 a.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Until then, thanks very much for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.